Amen. Well, good morning, everyone in the building.
Good morning.
Everyone online. Liz and I are absolutely delighted to be with you this weekend.
Our focus has been the hallmarks of a spirit-filled life. And in session one, we looked at the hallmark of thirst. In session two, we looked at the hallmark of intimacy. And in this session this morning, I want to look at the hallmark of impartation. Now, the word impartation means to bestow, to share, to transmit, to pass on, to give without measure. Now, this impartation comes from two sources. First of all, it comes from God. Acts 1. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem for the impartation. Wait in Jerusalem for the baptism of the Spirit. And in Acts 2, they heard the Spirit coming like a violent wind. They saw the Spirit coming, looked like tongues of fire. And they experienced the coming of God's Spirit. Each life was filled as the Spirit of God rested upon them. The second source is from people. Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 11 says, I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that will make you strong. For the sake of time this morning, I want to highlight five aspects of impartation. There are many more, but I just want to whet your appetite today to dig in deep and receive all the impartation that God has for each of us. The first impartation is boldness. Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus says, when you receive that impartation of the Spirit upon your life, when you receive the baptism of the Spirit, he will empower you to be my witnesses. He will give you courage, and he will give you boldness to speak for me. And that's what happened in Acts chapter 2. Peter, he encounters the Spirit of God. And he stands up and he preached a sermon with great boldness in the Spirit of God, and over 3,000 people were saved at that service. Wow. And then we read that because of the boldness within each of their lives, the Lord added to the number daily. Mm-hmm. And I believe like never before, we need boldness to witness in the marketplace. Up until a few years ago, Liz and I lived in a lovely little village outside Amersham in Buckinghamshire. And we heard through the grapevine that this family applied for a license to open up a laundry shop. Now, the neighborhood, they were not happy with the thought of a laundry shop. They thought it would bring down the house prices. Waitrose, Marks and Spencer's, totally acceptable, but Londis, no thank you. So they brought a petition together. And one evening there was a knock at the door. And it was my neighbour, or one of my neighbours. And he said that we've brought this petition together against this local shop being opened. And I looked at him and I said to him, Liz and I have chatted about this, and we think a little local shop is a great idea. And the shock and horror on his face was unbelievable. And then he leaned over, and this is what he whispered in my ear. He said, you do know there's Sikhs. And I looked at him and I said, that's another reason why I won't sign your petition. And every time Liz and I passed this little empty shop, we prayed for this family. We prayed that God would give them the license. And God gave them the license. And we were so thrilled that God gave them the license. The first day it opened, we went in and we said, we're so thrilled you're in the village and we pray God's blessing on your shop. He said, I'm Sangal. I said, I'm Paul. This is Liz. And we left the shop. 2 days later, I'm sitting in my office and I'm preparing a sermon on mission, on boldness to proclaim the word of God. And I see Sangal. And I sense the Spirit of God saying to me, I want you to go and I want you to bless Sangal. And I want you to bless his shop. And I want you to bless his family. I want you to go now. And so I left what I was doing in this sermon. And I thought, how will I do this? I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll write my card. So I sat down, wrote a card. Sangal, lovely to have you and your family in the community. We wish you God's richest blessing. We pray that your business will succeed. Love, Paul and Liz. So I took it to the shop. I'm sitting outside in the car. Now, I'm an extrovert. I love people. I love telling people about Jesus. But I'm sitting in the car thinking, Lord, you need to give me boldness. Spirit of God, you need to come and give me the words to say. What am I going to do? The Spirit of God says, you're going to buy something. I says, really? He said, yeah, it's a shop, Paul. It's a shop. You buy things in a shop. I said, okay, I'll buy something. I'll buy something. But please, Lord, let the shop be empty. And I walked into the shop, and the shop was empty. There was no one in. And I thought, what will I buy? Oh, Friday night, we're going to have a takeaway. Liz loves champagne. So I looked at the champagne, London shop, very expensive. So I thought, oh, she likes white wine. I'll get her a bottle of white wine. So I got this bottle of white wine. There's nobody in the shop, just Sangal and I. I put the bottle of white wine down on the counter. I said, Sangal, my wife and I have been praying for you. And I was in my office today and I'm preparing a sermon for Sunday because I'm a local pastor. And I felt God say to come and bless you and pray for you. So I want to bless you by buying this wine. And I want to pray for you. And here's a card. And I said, would you mind if I prayed for you? He said, I'd love you to pray for me. So he came out from behind the counter. And we stood in this little shop. And I said, do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder, indicative of God's blessing on your life? He said, I'd love you to. Wow. We're standing in this shop. And I tell you today, I felt the presence of God in that laundry shop more than I felt in many churches. Wow. And the Spirit of God came, and the cloud came, and God blessed Sangal. He went to the other side of the counter. I said, I want to buy the wine. He said, you're not buying that wine. He said, I'm going to give you that wine. I said, you can't give me that wine. He says, I can. He says, you've just blessed me. I said, you can't buy God's blessing. He says, I'm not buying God's blessing. I'm just saying you're not paying for that. And at that moment, God spoke to me. He said, you should have gone for the champagne. Now, five years on, if you go back to that shop and you look behind the counter, you will see that little card stuck to the wall. Stuck to the wall. And his business has been greatly blessed by God. We need boldness in the marketplace. Now, I need you to know that COVID and lockdown has not hindered the growth of the church. On Easter Sunday, I preached to three churches in North Devon through a video link, and it was amazing. And then we visited one of those churches during the summer. And we'd lunched with a pastor, and he told us that during lockdown, 80 people joined his church during lockdown. And when lockdown was over, many of them came to the church, and many of them were non-Christians. And just 4 weeks ago, they baptized 10 people in the sea.
Amen. Wow.
Only 3 weeks ago, Liz and I met this 18-year-old girl. And she said, I can't hear God and I can't feel God. I can't see God. And Liz, with great sensitivity, but with boldness, she asked her a simple question. She said, have you ever encountered God? Have you ever encountered Jesus? Have you ever received his love? Have you ever asked for forgiveness? Have you ever been filled with the Spirit of God? She said, no. Liz said, would you like to? She said, yes, please. And so we led her into the kingdom of God. And we need more boldness to share the good news and to ask the question. And as we do, the Lord will add to our number daily. There's an impartation in the house today, this morning, for boldness. Secondly, this impartation has to do with authority. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. We have what they call the Great Commission. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. But then I want you to notice in Acts 1, he tells them to wait and receive an impartation of the Spirit. And it seems to me that they received the authority of Christ, but the activation of that authority came through the impartation of God's Spirit at Pentecost. When they received the power of God's Spirit, their authority was activated. The word for power here can mean might and strength. It can mean miraculous. It's God's might, it's God's strength, it's God's miraculous power within these vessels. And God's Spirit comes to ignite and to stir up and to mobilize and to activate his kingdom and his kingdom authority in our lives. And we see that in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are going to a prayer meeting in the temple, and they meet this lame man who didn't actually ask for healing. He asked for what he asked for every day. He wanted money so that he could buy bread just to stay alive. But Peter, he wanted to give him more than money. Peter saw beyond the physical need. He saw the pain and the isolation and the rejection and how he was ostracized from society. He saw the hardship that he was under day by day. So he tells this man, look at me. Look at me. And he looks at the man and he says this, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and the authority of Jesus Christ, I command you to get up and walk. Yeah. And the Bible says that he stood up and he was healed and he ran into the temple and he was jumping and he was leaping and he was praising God. Peter's authority was activated when he was impacted by the Spirit of God. From Acts 2 through to Acts 9, we have this saying time and time again. Many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. There was a survey done before COVID, and they asked this question, why do people not attend church today? Here are the top five answers. Number one, they don't have time. Life is too busy. Number two, the church is not relevant to my life. Number three, they're always after your money. Number four, the music's too loud. And number five, never in this house, the sermons are too long. The only reason why people didn't attend the early church was because of the power of God.
Yeah.
They were fearful for their own life because of the power of God. The supernatural was the natural for the early church, and they walked in that calling and in that authority. I'm going to ask Liz to come and just share how this young girl was blessed at a conference we did recently.
So somebody came to us, this young woman came to us, and she said to me, "I really want to hear from God," she says, "but I can't hear from God." She says, "I've tried and I just can't hear from God." And she said, "Would you pray for me?" She also said, I said, "Is there anything else you want me to pray for?" And she said, I have terrible stomach problems." She said, "and for years and years, doctors have tried to find out what's wrong with me. I've had lots of investigations and they don't know what's wrong with me." So I said, "Well, that's great, we can pray." And so we prayed. So I started praying, and I said to her, "Is it all right if I put my hand on your back?" And she said, "That would be great." So I put my hand on her back and started asking the Holy Spirit to come upon her, and just started praying and asking God to bring a great revelation of himself to her. And you could feel the Holy Spirit coming. I could feel a warmth through my hand on her back. So we finished praying, and she said, she looked at me quizzically and she said, "Were you rubbing my tummy?" And I said, "No, my hand was on your back." She said, "Well, I've just had this strange experience where I felt something or a hand rubbing my tummy, and this warmth is going into my stomach." So I said to her, "Well, that's the Holy Spirit, because God's healing you. I believe God's healing you today from this stomach condition." And so she went away, and you could see her face was kind of like a bit in awe of what God was doing. So the next day, we were really, really busy praying with people, and she said to me, "Liz, I really need to speak to you. I need to tell you what's happened." So I said, "That would be great." So she came and she spoke to us both. And she said, "You know," she said, "I believe I've not had any stomach problems since we prayed together." And she said, "And I just feel different. I feel like I'm connected to God. I feel just changed." And you could see her whole face was just lit up with the Spirit of God. And it was just an amazing thing to see.
Maybe some of us need God to just rub our tummy today. Allow the Spirit of God to come and minister to her physical being. An impartation of the Spirit will release the power and the authority of God to minister. Third aspect of this impartation is generosity. Acts 4, 32 to 36. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that they had their own possession, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, in all of them, and there was no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned their land sold houses, brought the money from the sale, and put it at the feet of the apostles, and it was distributed to anyone who had a need. Now, many people ask me this question: are these verses prescriptive or descriptive? I think the latter. You don't need to sell up your house and move in with Liz and I. You wouldn't enjoy haggis for breakfast every morning, I assure you. But I do think that we should care and support each other in a tangible way. I do think that we're called to give joyfully and sacrificially to God. I do think that we should listen to our hearts more than we listen to the letter of the law. I do believe that we have a responsibility to sow sacrificially into God's kingdom, into the vision of the church, into people, and into ministry. In our last church, in Amersham, God graciously provided a plot of land to build a new church. And it's a wonderful story. It was worth $1.5 million. and I secured this plot of land for £2. Now, the Scot within me, I thought, can I get it for £150? But I paid the £2 out of my own pocket. I paid the £2, and we get this beautiful plot of land to build a church for God's kingdom. Here it is. We can see it on the screen. It is a 500-seater. It's got a youth wing. It's got a children's wing. It's got an office block. It's got a cafe. And that church was built by the generosity of God's people. But I want to tell you about one of the most moving services we had when we were raising funds. Liz had a dream one night, and she saw all these people coming to the front of the church. And I was standing with a basket, and these people were putting bracelets in and necklaces in, earrings in, and they placed them in the basket as a sacrifice to God to build the church. And the Lord reminded her of 1 Chronicles 29, when the people of God brought their gifts to be melted down to build the temple. And she said, I think we should have one of those services. And I think we should call it From Gold to Glory. I thought, I love that. From Gold to Glory. And I will never forget the first person who came forward. She was a dear old lady in the church who'd lost her husband several years ago. And she came and she stood before me with an empty basket, and she took out this wedding ring. And she said, this is Big Jim's wedding ring. Do you think he could buy a brick in the new building?
Wow.
And she gave. You know, in the context of giving, one of my favorite passages is Mark 13. Jesus sat down with disciples across from the treasury, and it was made of wood with a tin funnel, and people came to give their offerings to God, and the rich came, and they came in their fine robes, their bright robes, and they came with their bags of money, and then they emptied the bags of money into the treasury, and you could hear the clang, 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 and everybody was watching. And everybody knew who they were. And it opened up businesses for them, opportunities, seats of honor at a banquet. But Jesus was never impressed because he knew the motives. And then this dear old lady comes up, and she doesn't have fine clothes. And she doesn't have a big bag. All she has is two small coins. And she's looking around to see if anybody's watching, because she's embarrassed about what she's wearing, and she's somewhat embarrassed about what she's going to offer. And she puts her coins in the treasury. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, did you see that? Did you actually see what God saw? Did you hear that? Did you hear that clang that resounded in heaven? That offering and that sacrifice that was made. You see, every seed that you plant, every sacrifice that you make will bring the blessing and the honor of God. Generosity is a sign of the impartation of God's Spirit. Sidlow Baxter once said this, you are no more like God than when you're giving. Fourth aspect of impartation is gifting. Romans 12:6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. When we encounter the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God is released within us, there is an impartation of gifting that should be released in order that the body would be built up and would be effective for Christ. And we need to, like never before, release passion and gifting within the church. Yeah. You see, when God called Moses to serve him, he asked him an interesting question. He asked him, what do you have in your hand? When Elisha met the widow, He asked her an important question. He says, what do you have in your house? Moses had a rod. This widow woman had a small flask. When the disciples asked the wee boy, what do you have in your packed lunch? He said, oh, just 5 loaves and 2 fish. But here's the deal. God takes the ordinary and he makes it extraordinary in his kingdom. And the question I want to ask you today is this. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your house? What do you have in your daily provision that can be blessed and used for God? These gifts are given to inspire and to build up the body of Christ. Mm. 3 weeks ago, we went to minister to the community at Lee Abbey, which is a conference centre in Linton in North Devon. And we just had an amazing time with the community and the leadership team. One night, I had a dream. And I dreamt about this young chap who was in the community. He used to sit 2 rows back every day. And I saw him standing in the middle of this field. And I saw something within his hand, but I couldn't work out what it was. I thought it was a sword, then I thought it was a dagger, and then as I looked closely, it was a sling, a little sling. And the Lord said to me, he's like David. And I've brought him to Lee Abbey to work in the field like David so I can train him and equip him for what's planned in the future. Wow. He said, just like David, this young man's heart's after my heart. And just like David, he's been faithful with little, so he will receive much. Just like David, he's going to use a sling to bring down giants against the kingdom of God. Wow. He says, but he's got to work in the field and he's got to practice the sling. Mm-hmm. So we had a session and I felt I should call this young chap out, and his name was James. And I said to him, James, I saw you in a dream last night. I didn't eat too much cheese before I went to bed. In fact, I didn't have any. But I saw you in this dream. And you were in the field. He said, that's interesting. He said, that's what I do. He said, I'm part of the estate maintenance team. So every day I work in the field. I thought, that's good. That's encouraging. And I said, I sense that God's saying that you've got a heart after him. And he's brought you here to train and equip you. And he's placed something in your hand. Now, James, I wanted to give you a sword. I thought you could do a bit of battle with a sword. I said, I even wanted to give you a dagger so you could do great things for God. I goes, but in this vision, I saw a sling. Anyway, he started to cry. And I said to him, does that mean something to you? He goes, yeah. He says, every April, I decided to do something for a year that I've never done before. He says, I've done jazz. I've done foraging. I've followed old buildings. He said, I've done photography. He said, so this year, I was praying, Lord, what should I do this year? And this is what the Lord said to me. I want you to take up the sling. I said, the sling? He goes, yeah. He says, I've bought a sling. I watch videos on how to use a sling. Every day, I practice how to use a sling. Wow. I said, God is on your case. God has a plan for your life. A hallmark of a spirit-filled life is an impartation of gifting. So here's the question. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your life? What do you have in your household that can be used for God? Fifth and final hallmark, this I close, is a spirit of adoption. Galatians 4:6, because you're his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into your hearts, and the spirit cries, Abba, Father. You know, one of the most favorite programs over the past 5 years on television is a program called Who Do You Think You Are? Because people are longing to be affirmed. They're longing to know the true identity in Christ. And as Christians, Satan knows if he can question who we are in Christ, then the very foundation of our faith will be shaken. God, by his Spirit, longs to affirm who we are, and he can do that in a number of ways. I want to share a story. Liz will share a story. We'll bring it to an end. I was born in Scotland, as you can tell, Roman Catholic family, youngest of 10, 6 brothers and 3 sisters. And just before my mum died, we had a little chat together, and she said, would you do something for me, son? I said, Mum, I'll do anything for you. She said, would you speak at my Thanksgiving service? I said, Mum, it'd be a great honour to do that. If the priest would allow me to do that, I will speak at your Thanksgiving service. Well, Mum died when she was 96, and I had the privilege of speaking at her Thanksgiving service. And it was a wonderful occasion. Over 400 people were there, mostly family. And I gave the eulogy. And when I stepped down from the platform, this applause started from the back of the chapel. Now, the old priest who was sitting next to me on his throne, he nearly fell off his seat because he thought the Pope had walked in. But as I stepped down from this platform, I felt the Spirit of God say, well done. And I felt God say, well done, son. I am well pleased with you. You did a good job. And that affirmation in the Spirit took my breath away, but it did affirm my sonship and who I was in God. Liz.
So like Paul, I have come from a big family as well, the second youngest of 7. And my dad was always very distant and quite removed from us and as a family, really. And I always knew Jesus as my saviour. And I didn't really know much about the Holy Spirit growing up. And I never thought of God as a father, because father to me was somebody that was distant, who I couldn't relate to, who I couldn't go to, and who wasn't ever there for me. And so I began this pursuit of trying to find out who God the Father was. And in my pursuit, I realised in a way I had a bit of an orphan spirit, really. And I was desperate not to have that orphan spirit. And so wherever I would go, if I went to a conference, I would be like the first one at the front getting prayer and just seeking God's heart for my life. And this one conference I went to, I was really just crying out to God just to touch my life afresh, because I felt really dry. And I really wanted to hear from God. And the Lord gave me this amazing picture of a DNA helix. I think if we got a picture of it. Screen, can you put that sit there? So DNA is what we all are made up of. It's a molecule that contains the biological information that makes us who we are. And it's passed down during reproduction from the adult to the offspring. And God was saying to me, "You are my offspring." He said that you have my DNA, and this DNA comes from heaven and it comes to me. And you are not, you are, because you're born again, I'm your father and you have my DNA. And it revolutionized my life. I wasn't an orphan anymore. I knew exactly who I was. I am a child of God. And it's worth pursuing your identity. It's, if you feel that you're an orphan, if you feel you don't know who your father is, it's worth pursuing Father God.
That spirit comes and he said, "You are special. You are unique. You are priceless. You're the apple of God's eye. You are his masterpiece." God longs to affirm that within each of us. And as we come to the close of this service, there is a longing in God's heart for that impartation of boldness and of authority, of generosity and gifting and adoption. And there's that lovely invitation from Jesus, "Let the thirsty come, let the hungry come." And so I want to give you that invitation this morning. If God has stirred your heart, if God's brought a conviction within your heart that you need an impartation of him, then Liz and I and the leadership team are going to be here just to pray that you would encounter God and you would never be the same again. We're going to do that as we worship together. In the context of worship, God's promised he will habit the praises of his people. So let's stand as we worship. And I want to invite you to come for that fresh impartation of boldness, of authority, of generosity, of gifting, of adoption, just for you to know who you are in him. Holy Spirit, would you release and increase your presence in these moments? We're thirsty for you, we're hungry for you, we long for that encounter that will change us never to be the same again. So Holy Spirit, come. As we come to you, as we come to the front of this church, is an act of our desire and our thirst and our longing to meet with you. As we come, would you come, we pray. So let's seize these moments. Let's connect. Let's receive. Let's be all that God has called us to be.